In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am excited about this show for many reasons, actually. And one of them is because we have Guru Singh on the show, who is an American guru. And I really liked the way, I've known him for a little bit over a year. He was brought to us from an agent through Mark Lejeur, our producer, and I got to know his work. And then finally, a few weeks ago, I got to hear him in person, and he's been traveling, and we finally got him on the show. And so I'm excited about having Guru Singh on the show, or rather, having Guru Singh on the show. He's not going to sing, although he is a singer. At least I don't think he's going to sing. The other reason I'm excited is because I'm happy to be back with you. This past week has been a whirlwind of a week. I have done, I don't know how many interviews, actually. More than I can count on both my hands, actually. And most of them have been live in person on camera with the guests and some really great guests. And I can't wait for you all to be able to see them on YouTube and on our network and on other networks that those are going on. They weren't all done by us, but they were all done by me. And it was all very exciting. But that brings me to tonight, that I'm excited to be back here in the studio with all of you having this conversation. Feeling like I've kind of missed you all. So since I've been doing them without audiences, actually, that's not true. This weekend, I did a couple in front of pretty big audiences, but in any event. So I'm excited. I'm also excited because at the end of tonight's show, since this coming week is a big week numerologically, and for a lot of astrologers and for people that are on certain paths and are following Mayan calendars and all that, with October 28th, 2011 coming up, our producer Mark decided to step aside and let our producer Dorothy talk about these important dates while they are coming upon us. So we're going to be doing that as opposed to our normal producer's wrap at the end of the show. So, why else am I excited? I am excited because I'm just excited. But I also am learning a lot, and in the learning process, I'm excited because I get to understand certain things. And so, for example, when I first started out in entertainment, I started out as a singer. And I can't tell you how many packages I sent to record producers and record companies and to bookers and agents and managers. And I sent package after package. And, you know, I got a couple calls, I have to say. And then I got a couple return calls. But I was so frustrated at the time with people just not being quote-unquote courteous in my mind. I would think, how hard is it really to just pick up a phone and say, yes, we got your package, or I'm listening to your package, or I didn't like your package, or whatever. I mean, how hard is it, I would think. And I said to myself, when I get to be in a position where people are asking me if they could be on my record or on my label or whatever it is, I will make sure to contact everybody back because it's just not right otherwise. And that's just the kind of person I am. Well, that was before I have, at the moment, over 2,000 emails in my email box. And that's only on one account. I have three other email accounts. I also have Facebook, and I have Twitter questions, and all kinds of people. That was before, like, for example, 3 weeks ago, I went to the Conscious Life Expo, and 2 weeks ago to the Leaders Causing Leaders, and a week ago to the, or this weekend rather, to the Mastery Conference. And people are recognizing me and recognizing the show and saying they'd like to be guests on the show. And some of these people I like, and some of these people I respect, and some of these people I would love to help. Our show is currently once a week, and we certainly couldn't have half of these people, much less all of them. But I have a really hard time getting back to a tenth of everybody that is sending us emails and all that. And I'm thinking back on what I said that I would never do. And that was before I knew what it might be like to do to be in this position. As a matter of fact, some people might say, right, 2,000 emails. As a matter of fact, my mom says that. I have friends that say, right, you have 2,000 emails. Have you never erased them? No, those are the 2,000 that I still need to respond to. The other 10,000 that I've saved in different folders for different reasons, et cetera, et cetera. Well, and that's no big deal to some of my friends. I have a friend who's an executive in the film industry who has reached the 80,000 email mark, and he barely returns my emails. And I certainly understand, and no more do I say, I wonder why my friend hasn't emailed me. I feel really happy and privileged that he does on the occasion that he does. And those are just email messages. Those are not phone calls, and those are not Facebook messages and LinkedIn and whatever else any of us are using. So this weekend, as an example, I had another opportunity to judge and say, I will never do that. But quickly, I remembered this example that I gave, and I said, wait a minute. I don't really know, do I? So, for example, I was doing on-camera interviews with some fairly well-known people in this industry, self-help, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, New Age, and people you have seen in movies and read their best-selling books and have you have seen on Oprah. So one of these people came into the press room early, and the cameras weren't set up and we weren't set up. It was about a half hour early. What we had done is assumed that this particular guest would want to sign autographs, sign books, take pictures, like a lot of people do. And so we didn't set up the interview until a half hour after this particular guest's talk in front of the 1,000 people that were there or so. Instead, the guest was a half hour early and kind of just sat in a corner all by himself. And when I went to him to apologize, and he says, no, that's okay. I know I'm early. And I said, well, we're going to be another half hour. Do you want to go downstairs and go ahead and sign autographs? He says, no, I purposely didn't bring any books. And I had the opportunity to judge and say, wow, how rude. You have people that paid to come see you and hear you speak. And you had an opportunity to sell books and make money and sign autographs and take pictures. And how dare you? People, you know, that's what I could have done. And maybe for a moment I kind of went there. And then I said, you look tired. Can I get you something? Some water maybe? And he said, you know, thank you. Thank you for seeing me. He said, I flew back from Budapest last night, stopped in Canada somewhere, gave a talk, and then flew here in order to do something in Los Angeles this morning, and then this afternoon. Now I'm doing this, and after this there's a luncheon, and after this there's another conference, and then a dinner that I'm doing. And I just needed some time to just sit here alone. So thank you. I'd love some water, and we'll talk in a half hour. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know. And it's interesting because one of these guests that I spoke to, actually a lady, after having that experience with this gentleman, I went up to a lady and she had a similar schedule ahead of her and behind her. And I said to her, now, when you wrote your best-selling book or when you were writing your best-selling book, I bet you didn't realize that you would need a whole different skill set in order to do what you're doing to promote the book and to all of that. And she said, yes, I was not prepared for this. And I'm frankly not very good at it. And I've been uncomfortable, but I'm getting better. I just don't know if I'm pleasing people or not pleasing people. And she went on and on. And I felt for her. And I thought, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to judge. And thank you, Filippo, for not judging. So it must be true that we need to walk a mile in another man or woman's shoes before we can judge. But frankly, I don't know that we ever really need to judge. And frankly, I don't know that we ever really have to walk a mile in anybody's shoes in order to just allow them to be where they are. For better or for worse, just allow them to be where they are. And where I am right now is happy to be here with you and looking forward to interviewing Guru Singh right after these messages.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They're acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
That's Filippo indeed. And I am back, and right now we have Dr. Guru Singh with us. He is a yogi and a teacher, a musician, a composer, and an author. He is a minister of, Sikh Dharma with a doctoral of divinity. But most importantly to him, he is a family man and a human being. And actually, he's a lot more than that. He's a singer and all kinds. As a matter of fact, let me continue. With a base in Los Angeles, Seattle, and India, Guru Singh teaches throughout the world with his wife, Guru Perkarma Kaur. And together they have 2 children. Let me introduce him, because I think the rest we don't want to give away. We'll talk with him about. So welcome to the show, Guru Singh.
Oh, fantastic. Bless you for having me and having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And like I said, when I heard you speak, I knew that we would have great conversation together. As a matter of fact, you and I have spoken now a couple times, and I wish people could have been privy to our conversation during those times, because each time they've been very powerful. But we will do our best today to make it as powerful.
Well, I think one of the things that happens in your presence is that you tend to bring the intrigue out of a person. I've found that in the moments that we've spent together, so appreciate you as well.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful thing to say, and I accept and I appreciate it. It's interesting. As a singer, I have to start here, because in the 60s, you were singing with some people that were out there saying some very important things, Janis and Jerry and yourself, who recorded several songs that were on radio, and most of them spoke of freedom and spoke of happiness. And what were the sentiments you were feeling then, and how do they relate to your feelings now?
The sentiments that I was experiencing probably throughout my life, because I was born into a yogic household, which was very strange back in the mid-20th century, you know, the 1940s and 1950s. And
here
and
in America,
were
that,
the hat,
right?
What's that?
Here in America.
Here in America, yes.
Right.
My ancestry came from India. They were part of the British occupation, which I always apologize to my Indian you know, friends and such, brothers and sisters. But so the sentiments that I was feeling then were very, very much the same as now, and that is of equality, of prosperity, of peace, of calm, of relaxation, of expanded consciousness. And so that's what I wrote about in song and sang about on stage and lived about in life.
Well, your life from, though it might not always look like this, but to some people when they look, oh, you know, what, you were a singer before and you were this and now you're this, and it just seems like one alignment led to another alignment led to another, and here you are helping people align through yoga and through music. As a matter of fact, you're still recording. You did chants with Grammy winner Seal and students from India. So you are using that alignment to help other people align. Is that how you would describe it?
Yes. Well, I was listening to your opening monologue, and I see that your experience as a singer-songwriter gave you the same opportunity, because you know, you run into other people doing their thing, right? And how that affects your world. When you're in a creative world, it's like you're always out looking for a job. Someone to sign you, or someone to buy from you, or something like that. So you're always having to be in that promotion mode, but doing it consciously is a very beautiful thing. So I was listening to your monologue, and I see that you've had that same capacity to align, you know, to find that real life change in other people that affects you.
You know, thank you for saying that. And here we are aligning in this conversation and trusting somehow that, or at least I trust, you probably know for sure, that somehow we are aligning with what's happening in the cosmos, which is so important to me right now for some reason. I'm not really sure why, except that feels right. Maybe you could shed some light on that.
Well, 13.8 billion years ago, this portion of the cosmos, you know, the cosmos is infinite, but the material construction of our particular universe is, you know, it's got its limits, right? But beyond its limits is the unmanifest void, which goes on forever. But 13.8 billion years ago, this portion of that began. They call it the Big Bang, and in religions they call it the Word, but it all relates to the same thing. And all of the material, this is physics, not mystics talking, all of the material that is in our universe today began at that moment. And so that material that's built all the galaxies and all the star systems and everything in it, including our own bodies, was all ignited in that one moment. And ever since then, all of that material has been stretching as our universe has been expanding. It's called a redshift. And that expansion has been going on for 13.8 billion years, and it's like taking a rubber band and stretching it. At a certain point, that stretching becomes tenser and more pressurized, and it creates more friction, and that's what we're experiencing in the world right now, is that sort of maximized tension, pressure, stress, and friction. And that's one of the reasons why so much is accelerating. But even in our own world, what you find is that We have almost 7 billion people. So the experience of 7 billion lives at this much expansion is what's creating what, you know, you were talking about earlier, the October 28th date, the 11-11-11th date, the 12-21-12 date. You know, these are all sort of tipping points in which that tension, pressure, stress, and friction flips a switch in the cosmos, in the universe. And things will never be the same. It's not like it's going to happen overnight, but it's definitely at a crescendo right now.
Right, and you know, in your case, you've been singing about this, and you've been doing yoga for many years, and I know you worked with Paramahansa Yogananda directly, right?
Yes.
So you've been aligned with this. Now, I know as a child I was saying certain things that my parents didn't understand, and finally I learned not to say them, and I just moved away from all this stuff, and now I'm just starting to come back. But is it because I am this way, or you are this way, or are we all sensing something, or are we all becoming something? How would you describe that?
Well, it's because we are all sensing these massive shifts in the universe that is triggering the changes inside of us to become more aligned, because we're unconsciously sensing that if we don't align, that all hell is going to break loose. That it's either align and become balanced, or it's be out of alignment and be completely chaotic.
Mm.
And so the pressure and the tension and the stress and the friction, which is increasing because of the physical redshift, right? This is physics again, not mystics talking. That we are needing to align. It's almost as if we've heard somewhere in our own unconscious, in a collective unconscious, that a major storm is coming, and we're on a sailboat out in the ocean. Mm. And so we're pointing our bow in the direction of the wind so that it doesn't capsize us, doesn't roll us over. Mm. And we're taking down the big sails, and we're putting up the really, really trimmed sails, you know, so that we can still move through the water, we can still move through the storm, but we don't have a lofty spinnaker and a major mainsail. We have a jib and a sail that can keep us aligned with where we want to go. And it's a matter of being prepared.
Hmm. You know, I said just moments ago that I used to think a certain way as a child, and then because of my parents and all that. But I think there was more help that my parents had, and I'm not saying that they did the wrong thing per se, but I believe they had help from schools and churches at the time that were teaching me to steer away from all of what we're talking about here. And one of the things I heard you talk about in person that I really liked was how schools were set up and what was the premise behind how we were taught. And better yet, you then gave us a way to help our children and even ourselves relearn. Can we touch on that a little bit here tonight?
I appreciate you asking that, because for a very long time our schools have just sort of followed the pattern of evolution. And evolution has always been, you know, to striving to get it right so that it can move forward, so that it can advance. And the pressure in school is to get it right. But the school also needs to honor making a mistake. Because the classical definition of education is entering the unknown with sufficient courage to make as many mistakes as are required to turn the unknown into knowledge. Mm. You never enter something new without making mistakes, and education needs to be about discovering the new. So mistakes need to be honored, as well as getting it right needs to be honored. So in the school of the future, the children will not only be rewarded for getting it right, but they'll be rewarded for making many, many, many mistakes and having the courage to make mistakes. This is going to be one of the most important components of future education, because in order for us to become those flexible beings that can accommodate these new pressures and tensions of not only of the cosmos, of the universe, but also just of the number of people and the scarcity of resources and all of the things that are going to be taking place over the next decades, in order for us to accommodate that and in order for us to be flexible enough to learn how to navigate that, we have to be courageous enough to make mistakes. Mistakes are the most important thing. As a matter of fact, every time we walk, we fail, because walking is just falling and then catching yourself and pushing up and then falling forward again and catching yourself and pushing up. So learning to walk and learning to acquire new knowledge are very much the same thing. As a matter of fact, coming upright 7.5 million years ago, and it took us 4 million years to master the act of walking on two legs. And in doing so, we actually unleashed the portion of our brain that is currently being used in today's world to advance our civilization. Walking and failing and learning to fail forward is a big part of the frontal lobe.
You know, Guru Singh, when you said this, what came to mind was the phrase, "The road to hell is paved with good intention." And I was thinking, well, wait a minute. So now that's very wrong, because if the intent is good and there was a mistake, then we honor the good intent, no?
Well, I look at it this way. You know, many of the old slogans were not necessarily truisms. They were a bit of sales and marketing. Remember, the child should be seen and not heard. You know, how repressed does that cause a child to be, right? Money is the root of all evil. You know, how non-prosperous does that cause us to become? So, you know, there were many of the old sayings, you're right, that weren't necessarily true. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions also. And when you find yourself in hell, just know that it's a mistake that's going to lead to heaven. And so there's another saying that goes along with that: when you're walking through hell, don't stop.
I've never heard
have a picnic, right? Keep the box packed up and wait for it all to clear.
I like it. And of course, though, if we think of it that way, then it's not really hell, I guess.
Right. Well, one of the most important components is that perfection is the flexibility of absorbing the imperfections that are all around you. And let's say we were to define hell as, you know, massive imperfections, you know, or things that were going wrong all around us. And, you know, the joy of the moment is to be able to have the flexibility to truly absorb. It's the Buddha said, there's no pain in this moment. Pain is only an anticipation of moments to come or memories of moments gone past. And so if you really come into this moment and absorb the imperfections of it, you will find great messages in them, and then it won't be so hellish.
You know, something just came up, and I'm reticent to bring it up because it's very personal. But, you know, growing up, for some reason I feel comfortable and want to share, and I believe you have something that you could add to this for me. But growing up, we've heard examples of, like you just shared, some of these sayings. And when people ask about the weather, or when I used to hear people ask about the weather, they say, oh, it's an ugly day, or it's a terrible day, or it's awful here, it's raining. And I used to say, just say it's a rainy day, because what's awful about rain? I mean, it makes the grass grow and all that stuff, and it's the water that we need to drink. So if you'd rather it be sunny, I understand you enjoy that better. So just say it's raining. So when it comes to weather or the changes going on in the world, I am much more understanding, and I resonate with that, saying, well, the world is going through a change. I am having a hard time with my human moments, or the human moments of people that I love, as I watch them make their quote-unquote mistakes. And I say, you know better than that, as do I. So why are we still doing this? And I stumble there.
Well, as do many people stumble there. And the one component of making mistakes is that if you did embrace not the fact that they were making a mistake, but if you embraced the fact that they were learning their way through a mistake in order to achieve a correction, then you would say, okay, well, the child is falling. And they say that we fall more times learning to walk than we ever do after, collectively, after we've learned to walk. In other words, you know, once you've mastered walking at about the age of 3, you fall fewer times for the remainder of your life than you fell while you were learning to walk between the ages of whatever, 1 year old and 3 years old. Mm. So if you were to look at the person and say, you know better, but what if in a moment not only did they know better, but that they had other things in their processing, right, in their psychological processing and the emotional processing that were blocking that knowledge that they perhaps knew 3 days ago. Maybe they didn't fall down 3 days ago, but today they were trying to do something new with their walking, and they are falling constantly. And so what you're better off looking at is, instead of you know better, let's find out what's the difference between when you knew better and what's happening today. Mm-hmm. And maybe that segment of difference is the message that they're actually communicating. Now, maybe that message, just like when that person said, you know, I came from, I can't remember the place, it's Bulgaria or wherever, through Canada, you know, and I had 2 meetings before this, and I've got 2 more after this, and right. I just wanted to sit in the green room, right? And you said, oh my gosh. And it completely changed your perspective of what that person needed right then. So then you said, would you like a glass of water? And they said, thank you for seeing me.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it's quite beautiful. When you saw that person, they probably had whatever it was that they were meeting you for, if it was an interview or they probably right. had a better relationship in that interview with the questions that you were asking because of the fact that they felt relaxed with you and the fact that you had seen them in their, you know, in that moment of their journey. Mm. And when you see a friend who's, you know, 3 days ago knew what they're not knowing today, and you don't jump to those 3 days ago, but you actually pick them up where they are today, then they will appreciate you for seeing them also. And they'll self-correct. That's the beauty of it. When you see a person, instead of seeing them as a critical event, if you see them as a human event, they'll self-correct. You won't have to correct them. And it happens over and over and over again. It's so beautiful to see self-correction take place. That's what Paramahansa Yogananda was talking about all the time in self-realization. Those were some of the fundamentals of self-realization. And my teacher from the age of 23, for 34 years, I studied with Yogi Bhajan. And again, he was consistently talking about, see the faults in others. Don't be in a state of denial, but see the faults in others and then unsee them. And as you unsee them, what they do is they actually begin to, in your presence, they actually begin to self-realize and have that self-realization.
Thank you. Thank you for that, actually. I feel much compassion for my quote-unquote human moments and those that I love that I have said instead of, can I get you a glass of water? And instead of seeing them, I have judged. So, with that,
you've said, what in the world are you doing? Are you? We've all gone there. And you know what? Hey, we've also learned over the years that we don't really achieve anything except the familiarity of frustration.
Well, you know what? You are, when we spoke, we also talked about, and you also spoke with people at this leaders conference about being leaders. And this is what you are helping us, you are leading us to be leaders, whether we're leading hundreds or thousands or millions, or we're leading each other in our families or our group of friends. So when we come back, I'd like to speak a little bit more about that, how we lead with this new information. And we'll be right back with Guru Singh.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and tonight I have the pleasure of speaking with Guru Singh. And, of course, I know this is a conversation you will want to hear again and again. And if you do, of course, you can go to our website. You can go to our network at lifechangesnetwork.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Guru Singh directly, you can go to his website at gurusingh.com. And that's Guru, G-U-R-U, Singh, S-I-N-G-H.com. He's also got a newsletter that if you go to global.gurusingh.com, you can sign up for the newsletter there. A blog, if you go to blog.gurusingh.com, or his many podcasts. That's how I came to know him a year or so ago, by going to podcast.gurusingh.com. Again, that's Guru, GuruSingh.com. You know, Guru Singh, unfortunately, the people won't be able to hear all that I benefited from when you were talking about leadership. But in a few minutes, could you share with us how we might lead in a way that is most effective, as so many of us are needing both to know how to lead and to know how to follow what is being led, at least from our hearts?
Well, bless you for that. It's the original word ruler, you know, started, you know, a long time ago in any language. Obviously, we're speaking in English, but in any language, the earliest times were that a ruler was the most advanced, the most disciplined person of the tribe, of the clan, of the community, to which everyone would try to measure up to the high standard that this person was setting personally. And so it was a matter of leading by example. So a ruler was someone that you were to measure up to, not someone who gave you, not a boss who gave you orders. Of course, that's all changed throughout the centuries and the millennia. Until now, it's all about leadership is seemingly to be the one who knows the way and tells the way, and everyone else must obey the way. And this is not a true sense, and this is also what would be taught in new school systems. And that is to lead by the example that you are achieving. A perfect example is in the game of golf. You know, really great golfers always say they don't play against each other. They play against their own standard, right? They've set a standard, and they're trying to better that. And life is very much the same way. You will set a standard and then try to better that, and then try to better that. And as you learn more about disciplining yourself, whether it's through meditation, through relaxation, through yoga, through exercise, through the food that you eat, and the way in which you live your life, the life changes that you take yourself through, to quote the title of your program here, what happens is that you become, by default, you become a leader to certain people who are noticing you. And then the key is that as you become that leader, by example, is to be flexible enough to be able to make mistakes and not need to mask them or hide them, but to be quite open about them. Be quite open about the fact that as you seek the new perspectives through flexibility, you know, there's going to be a variety of paths that you take, and that you are also learning as you go along. There's an old saying that the true teacher is one who learns while they're teaching. And I find that to be true. And the old Sanskrit saying, when translated, is that if you want to learn something, read about it. If you want to know something, write about it. And if you want to master something, teach about it. And it's in that teaching or leading that you will be learning more than in any other way in which you can function. And so the leaders of the future will be the ones who are there establishing the highest standards for themselves, and by doing so, they'll be leading by example. A far cry from what we have going on in the world today.
Indeed. You know, there is so much I would like to be able to speak with you about, and I hope and trust that we will be able to continue this conversation many times to come. But in the time that we have remaining, I'm wondering, between the importance of being centered, what is happening for the future of humanity, or what you recommend for us as we move forward, which do you think we should tackle?
Well, let's just look at the logic of what's taking place in the world right now.
Okay.
The world is in a state of upheaval, and it's rightfully so. There's also a gathering on this planet of very profound, very wise beings. You mentioned earlier that when you would go off on these more spiritually, more esoteric directions as a child, that you would be drawn back by teachers and by adults, you know, that would try to guide you away from those things. And that hasn't just happened to you. It's been an epidemic throughout. And rightfully so. When people don't understand things, they're naturally concerned about them. But what we have to do, you and your programming like this one tonight, and the rest of the people that are listening to this, what we have to do as the leaders and the teachers and the masters on the planet is that we have to realize that it's our time to show up. And as we show up, we're going to break this sense of being normal. We will catch a great deal of pushback. We will be able to utilize our courage and not push back against the pushback, but comprehend compassionately that the pushback is just a fact of nature. It's Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal reaction. And so as you begin to become more and more capable, more and more of a leader, of a teacher, of a master, there has to be a balancing act that pushes back against you. To not take it personally, I think it's most important as we grow, as we become better examples, leaders, that we don't take the pushback personally, that we really take it to heart and comprehend that the person is actually pushing back because they don't understand. They're not pushing back because they don't like us. Mm-hmm. They're pushing back because they don't understand us. And when they do push back, it's our opportunity to go, okay, they're asking me to explain more simply, or they're asking me to explain more fully. And if we take that opportunity, we'll find that a lot of people that were pushing back end up being a really good student, a really good person, a really good relation.
And from what you were saying earlier, we have to allow for that and I don't remember your exact words, but in a sense, give it space or compassion, understanding, or something, and allow that self-correction to happen.
Yeah, if instead of judging it, you embrace it, then it will self-correct.
Hmm.
You know, that's what the great yogis always talked about. The self-realization is really the realization not of, you know, the self which is perfect, but of the self which is imperfect, and the acceptance of that imperfection as being, okay, that's who I am, and that's what I need to achieve. Let's just use a metaphor really briefly. I'm sure we're close on time, but if you get a flat tire in your car, realizing that the tire is flat is an opportunity to put a good tire on.
Right.
If you make great mistakes and miscalculations in life, realizing those mistakes and miscalculations is a great opportunity to put new calculations in place.
No matter who thinks, we should know better.
Right. Think of the film industry. When they make a mistake, what do they say? Cut!
Yeah.
Take again. They don't even go mistake, they just go cut. Let's take it again.
I love that. I think I'm going to use that.
Yeah, because all we're really doing is we're in a massive film called life.
Indeed we are, and I have a feeling the film is about to get even more exciting. And thank you for that.
Action adventure, right? And a romantic comedy, if you play it right.
Well, and thank you for the self-realization analogy. I never really thought about it. Well, definitely never thought about it that way. So that was really helpful, as was this show.
Well, bless you for having me. I look forward to many times with you.
Thank you as well, and with your wife and in person. So I look forward to that soon.
Make contact. We'll definitely respond.
All right. Thank you, Guru Singh.
God bless.
Want to remind everybody that we have been talking to Guru Singh, and that you can, of course, always learn more about him by going to our website, but to his websites, indeed, by going to gurusingh.com. That's GURUSINGH.com. And there you can learn about his newsletter, his podcasts, and his blogs, and other things that he's doing, like his yoga classes and his very own 11-11-11 retreat in India. So make sure you go to the website for that. And we'll be right back with our producer's wrap, sort of, with our producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Oh, I think we're live. We've been talking to continuing our conversation with Guru Singh off the air that didn't realize we were back on. And I tell you, I just couldn't get enough. So, but we're going to have to wait until another time. But you all, of course, can always listen to the show again if you go to lifechangesnetwork.com or lifechangeswithfilippo.com. But for the moment, we have our producer's wrap, sort of. Up until now, you've all have heard the producer's wrap with Mark Lejeur, but today he decided to step aside and let Dorothy come on because in 4 days we have October 28th coming up and so many people are talking about it. We thought we should honor that date specifically and have Dorothy here to talk about it. So welcome, Dorothy.
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm excited about October the 28th. The world ends. That's Friday, October 28th.
Wait a minute. That's, well, first of all, I wanted to say, I said, welcome, Dorothy, but I shouldn't say that. It's your show as well. So, hey, everybody, this is Dorothy. But wait a minute. That's so not you to say the world ends.
Well, I'm excited. I haven't liked this world one heck of a lot, and I'm ready for it to be over. A new world begins. You know, every time there's an ending, there's a new beginning.
Okay.
So it's a death to the old way, and we're already seeing this all over the world. Look and just see the Wall Street occupation in 17 different countries. People are saying enough of doing it this way. Mm-hmm. It's time for a change. Mm-hmm. So, as Guru Singh said so beautifully, it's just a vibration. It's a special day. It's an opening for the new. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. So, if it's an end to starting wars that don't serve anyone except the people who make money off of them, then I'm all for the end of this. Now, the reason they're talking about October 28th being the end of the world is they said the Mayan calendar was miscalculated, and the true date is October 28th. So all of you who've been expecting the world to end on 12/21/2012, it's going to end on Friday. But the good news is...
Well, we've heard of many endings, though. I mean, I heard that it was in October 2010, and I heard there was another... So,
well, these are just days that extra frequencies are coming into the planet. But I really expect on October 28th that more and more people will be waking up. I sense a surge of energy, doors opening for 11/11, which is really a very special day. And so October the 28th is just a prelude to that. And it's a door opening into a new way of thinking and being and loving and feeling.
You know, Dorothy, what this is reminding me of, it reminds me of, especially for those of us who live here in Southern California or live in, well, particularly in Southern California, we don't really have seasons that distinct, but we do have summer. And that's for sure. And then
well,
the other
some
ones.
Some days we have summer, and the next day is winter.
These days the weather has been very sporadic. This is true. But my point is that after having three months of nice weather, beach days, and I've got my tan on and all that, All of a sudden, I walk in a store and there are Halloween things up, and it just doesn't feel like Halloween, and it doesn't feel right that they should be putting up Halloween stuff because Halloween feels so far from this moment. But then all of a sudden, the weather changes and gets a little cooler, and there's a breeze, and it starts to get darker earlier, and you think, oh, I could do Halloween now. The weather changed my feeling about the holiday coming up.
So the weather is a frequency. It's an energy. It's an energy frequency. And, of course, it changed your feelings. And when it gets to be 90 degrees tomorrow,
it'll right. be off
Halloween again. But no, it is, it's an energy. It's a frequency.
So this 28th could be like the weather changing, so to speak. And then all of a sudden we feel like, oh, you know what? Maybe we don't go to war today.
Right. Well, people are already saying enough of that. Absolutely enough of that. It's really interesting because there was a survey that was done and asking about this particular day. Is something bad going to happen? Nothing going to happen? Or is something good going to happen? And the good news is 46% of the people said something good will happen on a global scale.
Well, then it's going to happen for sure because already there's
That's
intention
the tipping
there.
Tipping point, the intention. And so with shows like yours and mine and many of our friends out there, we are encouraging people to make more elegant choices and to live from their heart and to make their choices from their heart. So this is what is happening.
You know, Dorothy, this also reminds me of some of my, I'm going to say acquaintances because I don't have friends that don't believe that there is energy out there. But no, I think I do actually. But in any event, some friends, some acquaintances have said, yes, how can the moon affect your mood or what have you? Well, I say to them, have you ever heard of a high tide or a low tide? Well, that's affected by the moon. Now the moon can affect this big body of water on our planet, but it can't affect me, who's made up 70% of water.
Well, if you're only 70%, you're not drinking enough. So,
or my brain's supposed to be 90.
Yeah, so, your brain is supposed to be 90, and so that's where your mood is originating, is through your thoughts.
If the moon is affecting the big body of water on the planet, and it's affecting my brain and my body, then there could be other vibrations out there affecting other things.
Consciousness is what is being affected right now. And you can see it happening. Turn on the news. Watch what is going on. People are saying enough. Gaddafi's 40-year rule ended tragically for him, but it ended because the people said no more, no more. And people are camping out in Wall Street. People who have good jobs are walking off of their jobs to go and support this movement on Wall Street to say enough of what is not in integrity. So this is consciousness, and it's happening all over the planet. Something that started in New York City is in 17 countries.
Yeah, no.
That's consciousness.
Yeah, and that's something.
That's a lot. And so we have the internet, which I was told years ago by my friends from far, far away, that it would be the great equalizer. And there's so much good information coming through on the internet. What I encourage our listeners to do is ask for your gift of discernment and use it. And if it feels good, if it feels good, embrace it. If it doesn't, find something that feels good.
Well, hopefully they're connected with, I don't know, because some people think what feels good is ways of the old way. But
no, I tell you what, if you're not sure about what feels good, please go to lifechangesnetwork.com and read my blog about it, because I used to think that too much of the wrong things felt good. But I know so much better now. So what really feels good? So go to lifechangesnetwork.com and read my blog.
Well, you know what feels good? What feels good is being here.
That's
doing this,
right.
Having been here with you and Guru Singh. And we miss Mark, but I know he's listening, and I know he'll be back next week, and we're going to have some more fun. So with that, I, along with Dorothy Donahue and Mark Lejeur and our engineer Seth Hendricks, I am Filippo Voltaggio, saying thank you for being part of the positive changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.